Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. They call this thing the Weekly Pint. It's not a show. It's a happy hour. Welcome live Monday nights around 9:30-ish. Although you can listen to the podcast afterwards. We welcome all of you who are listening in the future. That's very strange to feel like I'm talking to people in the future. Because it's a live show, I'm talking to you right now. You that are part of the chat. What's up, chat? That's what the kids say these days, and that's what I say because I'm very cool. I'm very hip and happening. My kids tell me all the time. I'm very cool. As you do jump on the live stream, please jump on and tell me what it is that you are drinking, because a happy hour is just a bunch of people sitting around in a circle together if you're not drinking. It's not a happy hour. You have to drink something. You don't have to drink booze. You don't have to drink beer. We don't discriminate. You can drink whatever you want, but you got to drink something. Even if it's just a glass of water, I would say fizzy water to be exciting. But plain water, still water's fine. It's okay. Let's see. Chris is having a Citra High. That's a good choice. Zach says, great interview with Brittany Fry today. And then makes comment about it being a new one. Finally, I'm doing my best. Julia says, sup all, have an Axis Mundi. Okay, is she telling me I should have an Axis Mundi or that she has an Axis Mundi? I don't know. It says, have an Axis Mundi. I need some punctuation or else I'm going to go drink an Axis Mundi. Actually, I don't think I have any Axis Mundi. I might have some Axis Mundi. I don't know. Let's see. Chris said, also had a house cat, Northern Liberties Manhattan, a Lazarus daiquiri with watermelon and rhubarb. That sounds great. And a Good River dirty martini also sounds great. I've been really pleased with the Good River vodka so far. I'm not a huge vodka drinker, but that makes me kind of want to be a vodka drinker. And Zach comments that it's hot today. Julia says, I'm having an Axis Mundi, but why not suggest that you have one as well? I might, but we always start the show off with something special. I'm not drinking a beer right off the top of the show. I drink some kind of booze-related something or other. Sometimes it's schnapps. Sometimes it's rum. Sometimes I venture off of my quest because this has been sitting on the shelf here in the studio and teasing me. And, I had it on the show. That's why it was there. But I can't keep looking at it and not want to drink it again because it's that good. It's fine. It's kind of on theme. This is the Northern Liberties bourbon, but rum cask finished. This stuff is fantastic. If you haven't been down to Northern Row in a while, if you have not bought any of their bourbon, this should be the first one you buy. It is maybe not the first one. You should buy this. It is that good. You get the point. Get to Northern Row and buy this. Because it's delicious. Huge thank you to Northern Road that this was a gift. I have to say that. I probably would have bought it anyways. Joke's on them. All right. Let's get this in a glass here. Get a nice little pour of that. Eventually, we will get back on to schnapps or something for the start of the show. We'll get off the rum thing eventually. Maybe it'll be a little while. I just need to buy more rum. I need more bottles of rum. And I did some shopping recently for new bottles of rum and kind of started making some plans for where my purchasing is going to go from here. And there's a few bottles that I'm definitely looking forward to bringing home. I'm eventually going to have a whole shelf just dedicated to rum. Not that that's a problem, but it's getting a little out of control here. The booze, it's fine. Is it? That's kind of my thing. Let's see. Chris says, bought two of those on Friday. Gave one to a friend today. It really is spectacular. This is the type of booze that you give to a friend that you really like, as opposed to the types of booze that you give to friends that you do not like. There are bottles that you do that to. Josh is having Brewer's Dozen tonight. Zach is having a Burial introductory letter of Turbo Rambling Manifesto. Okay. Oh, man. Oh, it smells so good. I like bourbon a lot, but there is definitely like there's some nights where I'm just not in the mood for like a big, bold bourbon. And like this, like the fact that it's so like buttery and like smooth and round, I guess is how I would describe it. Like it just kind of it fits into this other place. Like it brings bourbon into a different little spot for me. I feel like there's probably a whole bunch of cocktails that I should be making with this. Like I should be trying this in different things because it is such a unique spirit. Instead, I'm just going to drink it like this because why not?
Prost.
Oh, just when you think the smell can't get any better, you try it, and the taste is better. Man, oh, and it warms you up right in your belly. Oh, not that my belly needs warmed up today. As Zach mentioned, it was hot today. It was, like, brutally, like, oppressively hot. It's making me try to figure out how I'm planning out my drinks for the end of the week. We're headed into 4th of July weekend, which, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that's one of my drinking holidays. I love drinking on the 4th of July. It makes me feel like a free American. I like to smoke cigars. I like to blow things up. And I like to drink. Not all at the same time. I should put that out there. If you are going to blow things up, please do it responsibly and soberly. Blow things up with a clean mind. Watch other people blow things up when you've had a few drinks, but don't do it yourself. And now that I said that, we're gonna get a little lit this weekend. See that? Chris says you just get Bush Light for that, right? No, I don't know that even on the hottest, oppressively sweaty days that I'm getting Bush Light. I'm not opposed like to drinking a Bush Light. In fact, I stopped at a bar late last week. I finally went out to the Anchor and Rose Tavern in Lindenwald a few weeks into their operation. I'm a little slow these days. It's fine. I finally stopped out there, and they didn't have a great little bar. If you live anywhere in the area, stop out to the Anchor and Rose. It's a great little spot in Lindenwald. But their beer selection was a little lackluster as far as that goes. They had Bud, Miller, Coors, that kind of stuff, and then some Modelo. I drank a Modelo because I didn't have a whole lot of options. I did also do a shot of Jameson because why not? But it was not a huge selection. I did put the bug in their ear that they need to refine that selection a little bit if they want me to come back frequently. We'll see if they listen. On that, let me finish this first. I said on that note, Chris says it is Lindenwald. I don't buy that. Lindenwald sits in between Hamilton and Fairfield. You've got Jungle Gems in Fairfield, arguably a mecca for craft beer in the greater Cincinnati area. And you've got Hamilton that has turned things around into a great drinking destination with lots of great cocktail bars, breweries, everything that you can think of. And then in between those two, you've got Lindenwald. It's a bridge between them. It doesn't have to be macro beer. We'll see. I think that you don't have to have a huge craft selection, but like one tap handle of something that's craft, fine. If you want to throw like some IPAs in cans in the cooler, even better. Like I think people will drink them. We'll see. We'll see if they listen to me. All right, let me kill this, and then we'll talk about craft beer in neighborhood bars, because I've got another one that I need to talk about. I need to rant about a little bit before I get on tonight's topic. Oh, that's good. Okay, rant juice. What should I drink for my rant juice? So I was going to drink this beer, but I also pulled out this beer. This one's been sitting in there a little longer than I wanted it to. So I should probably, we should probably drink that. It's also kind of on theme for my beers this week. So if you've been following along, I've been posting a whole bunch of short form video content because Facebook told me to. So I'm listening to the algorithm, and if Facebook wants me to post it, I'll post it. So I've been just cranking out lots of short form video, which is fine. Like I don't mind doing it. I wish I was not so busy right now trying to do other things and then trying to squeeze short form video into that also. I'm a firm believer. This is going down a content creation rabbit hole. I'm a firm believer if you're going to make something, it needs to have value to it. There are way, way, way too many people on social media now just making things just to make things and just putting out stuff that doesn't enrich my life at all. And I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum. If that's what you like and you like mindless scrolling, mindlessly scroll. I am obsessing myself right now with the idea that short form video content can be something much much more real, much better. I don't know what a good word to use is here. Much more engaging, much more value driven than what it is right now. There are better ways to do this, and I can't get that out of my head. I have not done that as well as I should, but it's in my head, and I'm trying to figure out how I can do it. I'm not a great videographer. I'm okay, but I'm not great. It makes me want to try to be better. I'm getting distracted. I need to. The point of this was I've been making lots of short form videos. If you've been watching those, I tried a beer recently from Cartridge and Common, which I thought I grabbed the other bottle so I could have as a prop, but no, I think it's on the bar. I pulled it out of the fridge and then left it sitting on the bar. It's a quadruple IPA, which I don't isn't a thing, but that's fine. It exists because they made it, and it was a great beer, like a really, really fun beer. And it kind of then got me thinking, okay, like maybe I need to revisit some of these other big IPAs that are out there. I need to revisit triple IPAs, quadruple IPAs, things that exist in the market. And then I'm like, oh, I think I have one in the fridge. And I do. I have a triple IPA. This is from Hoof Hearted Brewing out of Columbus. And it's called Did We Just Become Best Buddy Buddy? Did We Just Become Best Buddy Buddy? Okay, it's got some little Dracula guy hanging out here and an ice cream cone coming out of a computer. I don't even understand that. It's brewed with Superdelic and Vic's Secret hops. It is 10% ABV. I'm supposed to drink it fresh at 46 degrees Fahrenheit. We're getting there. It's about there. Okay, there is a date on it. I couldn't find a date when I was looking earlier. This was canned on 3/31. So we're getting to that point where hops start to fade, but that's okay. I think it'll be all right. I'm going to bet that this looks a little different than the cartridge. Yeah, oh yeah. This is a triple New England IPA, I would guess. It's fine. Look, it's hazy. It looks like juice. Still a nice big fluffy head on there. I was one of those people that was really vocally against New England IPAs when they started coming out. And I still, like, I look at this and this isn't pretty to me. It's not as ugly as some of them are, but it's not, I would never call this like a pretty beer. It's fine. It's fine. It's just, it's not my thing. Zach says that Hoof makes excellent IPAs and the can art is badass. It's got personality. Like I definitely think that like when you put a Hoof can in front of me, like I definitely know that that's I definitely know that that's where it's from. Zach says that beer is a play on the movie with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, Step Brothers. Yeah, I get the quote. I don't understand the vampire and the ice cream cone that is coming out of a computer. I don't understand that. Why is there a hand with an ice cream cone coming out of a computer? And why is the vampire, assumingly Dracula, just standing there just typing just a little bit? Not even like a full-on like double-handed type. He's just pecking away like this. I don't get that. All right, let me get a nose on this. That's what the cool people say when you smell something. I'm going to get a nose on it. Okay. Not as hoppy as I was expecting. It's juicy. Like, it is just like, and I recognize that is a hop aroma, juicy, but it really does smell like tangerine, orange. Yeah, like juicy tangerines. It's fine. I'm gonna taste it and see. It just smells like juice. Mm-hmm. It just tastes like boozy juice. Yeah, not my thing. Like, I get this is what a lot of people want to drink. I don't. It's not what I want out of an IPA. Not even close. It's not what I want out of a beer. I don't. It doesn't feel like it's got any balance to it. It feels like it just leans into this like sweet, juicy something. Like, it's just missing a whole half of the beer. Like, I need, yeah. Chris says I need a citrus high. Maybe. It needs like. So, okay, maybe we can doctor this thing up. It needs like some kind of a bite to it, something that would give it like something on that front end instead of it just like falling apart. I don't really want to add booze to this, but that might be the way to fix it. I actually wonder if I put gin with this, what it would be like. I'm not running back and forth into the other room. At some point, I'm just going to have to start doing this live stream from the bar. Just have to stand behind the bar to do the stream so that if I need to drink something, I can just turn around and grab it. And that's kind of where we're getting. Or get some kind of a conveyor belt system and everything can just, I can push buttons and it can all just come to me like hooks. Or like, you know, when you're at, if you've ever been to the Jungle Gyms, to the event center in the back, the snake building. They have Oscar Station, I think they call it. If you go to the bar in there, there is like an old conveyor belt system from a dry cleaner that he turned into. His people turned into like this booze shelf. It's got these little hooks and these little shelves that hang, and there's bottles of booze that sit on all those. And so when you want to get a bottle that's up there, the people behind the bar just flip a little switch and it goes and it brings it around to them. That's what I need here. Every bottle of booze needs to sit on a little pedestal, and I can just hit a little like thing and a little conveyor can bring the bottles around to me. That's perfect. Zach says, did you say that documentary you made will hit YouTube next month, or was it August? I will have some news about that this episode. Actually, we will be talking about that. Chris says, sounds like Human Centipede to me. No, I mean, it's like Human Centipede if it was like less pooping and more drinking, and booze. There was just all booze instead of humans. Not actually like Human Centipede at all, the more I think about it, other than the fact that it's connected. I don't even want to drink this. This isn't that good. Julia says, I bet we can make that with some model train engines and a few lazy Susans. We can make it just with a big train. Just put bottles of booze in a train. Or I could just like train my children to stand right at the ready, just right behind the camera. And then when I need something, I'll just say, older kid, daddy needs rum, younger kid, limes. And they would just go scurry off into the basement, fetch my ingredients. Don't forget the ice, you little rugrats. They'd come back with a thing of ice and I could make myself a cocktail. Chris says that very lazy Susans just stay in bed. Yeah, I don't even say that. I'm gonna sip on this. We'll see if I finish it. I do want to talk about a few different things. So the title of this week's episode, I know how to make it all taste better. I started going down this whole thought process about drinking. It started with like the weather's obviously getting hot again, and anytime it does, I start thinking about drinking outside. And I started thinking about patio. I've written about the best brewery patios, beer gardens, rooftops. It's been a couple of years since I updated that post. Maybe I should update it. I don't have time this year. Maybe I'll have it updated for next spring. But I started thinking that I've never written about just in general the best patios that I like to drink on. And then I started thinking, look, if I'm going to start talking about it, I would much rather do it on this show where I can talk about it with you guys to see what your favorite patios and beer gardens and rooftops and places to drink outside in the summertime are. And I we'll talk about that because that's what I like to do in the summertime. I like to drink outside. Before we get to that, though, then my brain started kind of going down some other rabbit hole, and I started thinking about just in general things that affect my drinking and how to make drinks taste better. I've been talking about over the last there's been a few episodes where I talk about things like your beer looking good and how that does affect how your beer tastes. I think that there are lots of things like that change the experience of your drink, and place being drinking outside would be one of those. Zach said, I had to step away real quick. Did you answer the documentary question when it hits YouTube? Not yet. We will talk about it, I promise. So one of the things and we can talk about the patios if you guys want to throw out your favorite places to drink outside. There's lots of ways that you can simply make what you're drinking taste better. And I think that they're all very valid. And we'll start with where you're drinking it. Outside, things taste better. But not always, and we will talk about that. But for instance, if I am sitting outside in the beer garden at Fibonacci, and I'm hanging out at a table with a group of friends, and I'm drinking a Saison, it just tastes perfect. If I'm drinking a Kolsch out there, it feels absolutely perfect. Not that it's not fun to drink in their tap room, but I think it tastes better sitting out in the beer garden. And I think that that's something that is very underappreciated. Zach says, porch drinking is better than anything. Porch drinking is great. I still prefer beer gardens. I like sitting in a beer garden, sitting in the grass or in some gravel, maybe under some trees, with shade, gentle breeze blowing. To me, that is just the best way to enjoy a beer. I think that there are some patios. Blind Lemon in Mount Adams is a great example of just an incredible bar patio. I think the patio, the courtyard at Arnold's, is one of my favorite places in the city to sit and just have a drink with some friends on a warm summer night. To me, it's hard to beat that. I mean, rooftops are fun, but Sometimes it gets hot. You know, I love sitting on the rooftop at Rheingeist, but if it's in the middle of a summer afternoon, it's a day like today, I don't really want to sit on a rooftop and drink a beer on a day like today. Put me in a shady beer garden, though, and I might. And there are just so many places like that that are great. Chris says Barleycorns, too. Barleycorns is good. I wish that it wasn't right on the road like that. I'm trying to think of some other great examples. There's a lot of, like, good beer gardens. There's not a lot of great ones. The beer garden at Lager House is a great beer garden. I think that it's maybe one of the more underappreciated ones. You can sit right in the beer garden there at a table. You can walk over and look at the river, and that's a good one. But it's all, like, the point of this is that it's all valid things that have nothing to do with what's actually in your glass that actually make it taste better. I think that we kind of gloss over that sometimes. Being with people that you enjoy drinking a beer with, or a drink with, I should say. Julia says, I like the patio at Benski's. Great example. Now, Benski's, I think things taste better inside at the bar at Benski's than they do outside on the patio. My own personal take. I think that things taste better just sitting right there in a bar stool conversing with people. Which, again, is kind of the next point here, is that, like, you can go to a modern craft cocktail bar and you can pay $20 for a cocktail, and if you're sitting by yourself, it might not taste as good as going and drinking a cheap, mediocre beer with a table of six of your good friends that you haven't had a conversation with for a long time, and sitting down and just pounding a bunch of those cheap, mediocre beers. Those beers will taste better than that expensive cocktail will. I think that, like, sometimes you'll hear people, like, at the end of a night say that was the best beer that I've ever had. Or that's the best drink that I've ever had. That was the best cocktail. And I think that a lot of times when people say that, what they're actually saying is, this was the best night that I've had in a long time. It doesn't actually usually have a lot to do with the actual beer itself. Now, there's some nerds that definitely, yeah, that was just a great beer. Like, I really was focused on that beer. But I think for most people, when they say things like that, they're talking about the experience. Ryan says the beer garden at Germania. Absolutely. Oh, especially during Oktoberfest. If you take that back beer garden, the nice shady woodsy beer garden, and the wind shifts the right way, and the smell from the roasting chickens just kind of drifts right through the beer garden. You hear the music playing. You hear all the kids laughing and people reveling and cheering from the Stein hoisting, and that is hard to beat, especially if you're sitting around a picnic table with a bunch of friends drinking a good beer too. That is hard to beat. That's a special event, though, which is, we could go down that road. At special events, like if you go to an Oktoberfest, your Oktoberfest beer is going to taste better. And if you are drinking a beer at an event like that, an Oktoberfest beer is going to taste better than a Pilsner. Or certainly if somebody poured a stout or something for you, it's not going to taste as good. That doesn't mean stout isn't as good, but I need stout in stout situations, and I need Oktoberfest in Oktoberfest situations, because they do taste different in those situations. Julia says canteen. Yes. The canteen, the little beer garden there in the front. Absolutely. That would be near the top of my list. When Mecklenburg was open, that beer garden, oh, it was so good. God, there really are so many great places. And in some cases were so many great places. RIP Mecklenburg. I don't know that it'll ever be back. Even if somebody eventually buys the building, it's not going to be what it was. Yeah, everybody needs to go to Canteen. It's been too long since I've been there. Yeah, I need to make a note. I'm trying to think of some of the other examples that I was pulling. I have to pull up my notes. Let me take a drink here while I'm pulling this up. It's definitely starting to smell more boozy as it warms up. Again, that's not a bad thing. I think it's exactly what a lot of people want it to be. Here's a good point. I talked a little bit about this when I was talking about Oktoberfest. The sound, using your ears while you drink is something that I had never really thought about before. But as I was sitting here kind of scribbling all this stuff out and trying to figure my thoughts out, I started thinking about some situations like Oktoberfest, where the sounds around me affect how my beer tastes. And then I started thinking about other times and other places that what is happening musically or just audibly in general makes things taste better. And an easy one for me, and this might be my own kind of personal thing, but if I'm drinking bourbon and there is some kind of bluegrass or real good twangy country playing, it makes bourbon taste better. I want to feel like I am in the hills of Kentucky, and it connects me with something else that it tastes better. It really does make the spirit taste better. An easy one for me, again, I have to be careful how I word this. I'm a margarita fan. I love a great margarita. I really love a great margarita. I also really enjoy a crappy margarita. Just a run of the mill. There are probably approaching hundreds of small, great Mexican family run Mexican restaurants here in Greater Cincinnati, and a lot of them make very bad margaritas, mediocre, bad, sweet margaritas. I love them. And to me, part of what makes those what they are is, yes, it's the situation being there, the food and pairing those up with food, and it goes great. The company when you're there with your friends and your family, and that's fine. The smell, I mean, when you walk in and there's the smell of fajitas and the Applebee's sizzle effect as it's all just going past you the whole time. You're knocking back a bunch of chips and salsa. That, of course, makes a margarita taste better. But a huge part of it, when I think of that margarita, I hear the sounds of these Mexican restaurants. I hear that sizzling fajita. I hear the Mexican music playing. I hear people laughing and, just getting a little loose on their margaritas. I tell you that, I think that it might be a critical part of those, specifically those margaritas. Now, I could have a fancy margarita sitting in a lot of situations and not think about it in the same way. But when I'm talking about those cheap, not so great margaritas, I need that situation. I need all of those things to come together to make it taste as good as it possibly can. If you remove one, the drink itself might not be ruined, but it's not going to taste as good. And I just don't think that we're paying enough attention to that. Ryan says, as far as the breweries go, Sonder has a great outdoor space. Ditto Little Miami Brewing Company. Yeah, both great. Narrow Path also, all great examples. Sonder has been fun because it just keeps getting, they keep finding ways to improve it little by little and make it even better. Little Miami has been a fantastic patio since the day they opened. Narrow Path, same way. Narrow Path has been great since they opened. You know what? I actually think Narrow Path has improved also. And I don't know why. I don't know that they did that much to it. But it just, maybe it feels more lived in and has some kind of more soul to it now than it did when they first opened. But it really did just feel like drinking in somebody's backyard when they opened. And now it feels a little more beer garden-y. But man, I've had nights sitting around a fire pit at Narrow Path that rival some of my favorite drinking experiences. I don't know what I was drinking, and that didn't actually matter. It was the other stuff that fit in around that made it what it was. Not that the beer at Narrow Path isn't great and doesn't factor in, because it does. What about weather? Weather factors in. I think that there are beers that on a day like today, if I'm sitting outside in the sun, that are going to taste better than they would on a rainy day. I think that is valid. But vice versa, if it's rainy outside, there are things that I might drink because they taste better than if it was sunny outside. And snowy days, all of that kind of factors in. I do know why. Cocktails and like that side of the world would be a lot easier for people to cater to what is happening outside. And I don't know why we're not seeing kind of more of that push. Like, you walk into a bar and it's a rainy day. Why am I not offered a rainy day cocktail? Like, why am I being offered a margarita on that day? I don't want a margarita on that day. I want something a little more bourbon heavy. I want something that's got some rainy day character to it. And I don't know that ever happens. I shouldn't say ever. There are a few bartenders that when I walk in and I see them, I know that I can trust them to recommend me a cocktail. I can say, you know, here's what kind of mood I'm in, or here's what I'm feeling, and whip something up for me. And I trust that they will be able to do that, and they will be able to bring in factors like how I'm feeling, who I'm with, what's happening outside, if I'm eating, you know, like all of those things can be used to craft the perfect experience. Most people don't do it. Most people don't put two thoughts to it. They just they just push whatever house special is happening at the time and send you along your way and come back up when you need another one. Like that. There's so much more to this, and there's so many different roads that we can go down that can make this whole thing better for people. If you've ever, look, we all know I'm not a runner. I don't like to run. But I did shout out to the other members of the, Cincy Pod Squad, relay team. We did a relay of the Flying Pig a couple years ago. And I tell you what, this is going to be a controversial statement, because I think Mick Ultra is a terrible beer, and I never have any desire to drink them. But that Mick Ultra, after finishing this relay, was one of the most delicious things that I've ever put in my mouth. I'll wait for you to make your jokes, but I'm telling you what, it was freaking delicious. It hit perfect. And there's something to any beer probably would have tasted perfect at that moment. I don't know. I don't know if a stout would have. But like, when you earn something like that, or when you hit this like level of exhaustion, and then afterwards you get this reward, it tastes better. That's the same reason that, like, when you get done mowing the grass and you crack open an ice cold beer, it's going to taste better. Like, you're hot, you're sweaty, you're tired, you just did this thing, and it's going to make that beer taste better. The only time that I can replicate the joyous experience of the very first beer that I can remember tasting. The only way I can replicate that experience is if I do something where I get really hot and sweaty, like mow the grass. If I mow the grass, get really sweaty, and then I grab a light lager, any one of them, and I take a sip of it. That first sip, that very first moment that it hits my lips, is the same like flavor that I remember, that same balance of flavors, and it immediately like sends me back to that moment, and it makes it taste better. And I think that's okay. If you don't think it's okay, you're wrong, because I do. Zach wants to know about A Light in the Tunnel, my documentary. Let's open another beer. Maybe I'll finish this, but I'm not going to chug it, that's for sure. This is sitting here staring at me, and I want to open it, so I'm going to. June. I was shopping. I'm not going to say what store I was shopping at, because I'm trying to find a bottle opener here. I know. Oh, it's over here. Stay tuned. That'll be tomorrow evening, that short form video. We'll talk about beer shopping, because I got some things I want to talk about. Anyways, I was shopping at a beer store that I shop at a lot, and this was sitting on the shelf, and I said, you know what? I don't know how many more of these are out there in the world. I don't know when I will get the chance to buy it again. I don't have any hanging out in the cellar, and I love the beer, so I'm going to buy it. And then not only am I going to buy it, I'm actually going to drink it, like, quickly. So, June. This was such a pretty beer. This was bottled on, can't tell if that's a 5 or an 8, but I can definitely tell the year, and that was 2020. So that was about the time that Mad Tree kind of, not stopped, because they haven't stopped, but they have definitely scaled back their barrel aging program, in my opinion. And so there really isn't that many of these. This is the 4-peel June. The base beer is a Kolsch that then hits bourbon barrel gin barrels from Watershed. And this one gets an addition of juniper berry, ginger, and then the 4-peel, as it's called, is orange, grapefruit, lemon, and lime peels. And it is a delicious beer. It is the perfect beer to give somebody, like when you're having some kind of conversation about barrel aged beer, and somebody says, "Yeah, but I don't really want barrel aged beer in the summertime. It's not really a summer thing. I like my barrel aged beer only in the wintertime." And it's like, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about big imperial stouts, but that's not the only barrel aged beer that's out there. There's stuff like this. All right, let me get in here. It smells like a cocktail. Citrus, obviously, right off the bat, but then behind it, there's this really great, like, earthy floral thing. Oh, yeah. Such a good beer. Oh, man, I can't wait. All right. Cheers. Mmm. Big, lively carbonation. So, like, big, fizzy bubbles. Not like real fine bubbles like the IPA is. These are like soda bubbles. Yeah, that's just that is great. It finishes real dry too. So it's kind of like wine like. And then there's like that great juniper tannic thing. Is that juniper? Does juniper have tannins? It might. I don't know. That's the drying thing that I feel is there. That's a good beer. That's a beer that kind of throws a wrench in. It's going to make me really burpy too, these big bubbles. Throws a wrench in the whole narrative of what both like craft beer is, but also barrel aged beer, because there's a lot of like cocktail people or wine people that think they don't like beer, that you could probably put this in front of them and really kind of blow their minds a little bit. Ryan points out he did have an Imperial Stout today. Like Imperial Stouts, you can have them anytime. It's cold down here in the basement. You see, I've got a hoodie on. It's like it's really cold in the basement. I could definitely drink an Imperial Stout right now. Chris says, one of my favorites is Soaring 20s from Warped Wing, a Pilsner aged in gin barrels. That sounds similar to this. But the gin, or I'm sorry, the Pilsner might bring a little more of like a hop thing to it. I would be curious about it. I don't know that I've ever had that one. I don't get to Warped Wing as much as I want to. I probably need to make a pilgrimage one of these days soon. We should talk about the documentary. So this is not specifically about the documentary, but we'll get there. If you go ahead and pull out your calendar right now, there is an event coming up that you should probably know about. This is hopefully going to be a new yearly event sponsored by the Brewing Heritage Trail. They are throwing what they are calling Brewing Heritage Day. This is an entire day of celebrating Cincinnati's past and how it ties to the present craft beer industry in the city. It is happening both at, I believe there's things, yeah, both at Rheingeist and Northern Row, so NOTR, and most of the things that are going on are all free. Admission is free to the event. There are a couple, like any of the beer tastings, obviously you have to pay for those because you drink beer, and then there is some special guided tasting tour that costs money, which we should point that one out because they're opening up the lagering tunnel that is a Christian Moorline lagering tunnel. It runs from where Mikey's Late Night Slice is over to Rheingeist. I think it's walled up in the middle, but I don't know that it's ever really been open for tours. I don't know how many people have actually been in there, but they you should take one of those tours. I'm going to get on one of those tours while I'm down there. The problem with this, I shouldn't say there's a problem with this event because it's a great event and everybody needs to go there, is that it's on Saturday, July 11th. There are other things happening that day. I fully recognize there are other things that are happening that day. Other important things that I will definitely make it to, just maybe a little later than I want to, because I gotta get all this done, which we'll talk about the schedule. But they have the brewing history exhibit, so the museum that they're trying to launch. They'll have an exhibit from that set up. There's going to be a tasting station with a brewer sitting there, so you can ask a brewer any questions you want about a beer or any beer or just anything. They're going to have a virtual reality brewing cellar exploration, so you can put on like virtual reality goggles and kind of walk through some of the cellars. There's going to be they want to bring families into this, so there's going to be a whole root beer tasting station, so you can bring your kids and they can go up and get some root beer and crush some root beers. Everybody's pointing out the party with Cincy Brew Dads. That's the other event that I was talking about. Thanks. I will be there. I will definitely be to the Cincy Brew Dads birthday party. I'll just be a little late. They're officially launching the Brewing Heritage Trail app. And then there's going to be a brewing history speaker series. All of those things are free, except for the tastings. Like the speaker series, free. You're going to show up and like listen to somebody talk about something cool. I don't know what all the guest breweries that'll be there. 50 West, Sonder, Cincinnati Beverage Company, Wooden Cask, Sam Adams, Westside, Urban Artifact, High Grain. Obviously, Rheingeist Northern Row will be there too. I'm trying to find the if they've posted. Oh, there's a costume contest later that evening. Oh, it's not just, okay. It's not just a costume contest. This is in the evening. I will not make this because I will be busy at that point. But at 7 p.m. at Northern Row, they're doing something called Talent on Tap. It's the grand finale of the day. A beer-themed talent competition, judged by the Sausage Queen herself and members of her Royal Sausage Court. They are crowning winners in things like best beer-themed costume, funniest talent, best incorporation of beer, crowd favorite, best of show. So, like, very similar to Sausage Queen kind of events. That would be great, but like I said, I'll be there. I won't be there, I mean. Okay, the speaker series. Okay, they got that. And we'll get to the end of this here. At 12:15, there is a talk about the discovery of the mural that is the Moorland mural on Rheingeist with Ben Castle. At 1 p.m., there is a talk about Cincinnati's beer barons and the golden age of brewing with Don Heinrich Tolsman himself, who calls me Gnarly Gnome. At 2 p.m., Cincinnati and family brewing history with John Pining from the Cincinnati Beverage Company. At 3 p.m., tapping creativity and rebirths in OTR with Jim Effler himself. At 4 p.m., Northern Row Brewery, talking about the facility and the relics inside with Josh Lively. And then at 5 p.m., this is an important one. At 5 p.m., a viewing of A Light in the Tunnel, Restoring the Bruckman Brewery, a new documentary by the Brewing Heritage Trail, and The Gnarly Gnome. That is why I'm going to be a little bit late, because it's at 5 p.m., so I'm not going to leave OTR until 5:30-ish. So I'm going to be late. That's where I go with all of this. So if you want to see the documentary, there is an opportunity on Brewing Heritage Trail, the 11th, at 5 p.m. Or I think I'm pretty sure. In fact, tonight after I wrap up this show, I am exporting the absolute final version of the documentary that will go to YouTube. It is officially put a stamp on it. It's done. So I need to double check a couple things to make sure time frame is right, but I'm fairly confident that sometime in July it'll be up on YouTube for everybody to view. That's the long story that we've been getting to, is that it should be up next month. I got to make sure that everybody's okay with that happening. The Brewing Heritage Trail, who sponsored the video, so they are a producer of this video in the same way that I am. They want to enter this video into the Cincinnati Independent Film Festival, which is fine. But I don't know exactly what all the rules are around that. I don't know if I'm allowed to just put it out publicly if I'm entering it into that. I'm not sure. I don't see why I couldn't, but we're gonna check, make sure it's good with everything. Julia says, I love the Sausage Queen. I want that to be known. I love the Sausage Queen too. I think she's fantastic. What is her name? Like Celia? Is that how you pronounce it? Celia? Is that right? We had a very long conversation with the Sausage Queen at Missing Link. Great conversation about all kinds of fun stuff. And yes, she's fantastic. Celia. It's spelled the wrong way. She spells her name way wrong. She's fantastic. This is a great opportunity. If you've never met the Sausage Queen, go down to Brewing Heritage Day and say hi. Tell her that the gnome sent you and Julia. Oh, it's so good. As was mentioned earlier, that is the same day that the Cincy Brew Dads are turning one. I don't know that I'm allowed to invite people, but it's a public event, so I'm going to say everybody should go to Third Eye Sharonville on July 11th and hang out and tell the Brew Dads that you appreciate them and you appreciate what they're doing and hang out with them. Have a beer. Buy them a beer because that'll be fun. Like I said, I'll definitely be there. I don't know what time I'm going to get there, but I will be there. I cannot tell you how much joy it brings me to see people coming along into this whole, Julie says, I'm not saying it right. I say it one way and then you follow it up the proper way. That's the way it goes. One person says it and then you have to do the other thing. I appreciate, people coming along and creating content here in this city about beer that we're making here in the city. I know that like it seems like a very simple thing today, and it wasn't always that way. Like it was this very strange community when I started blogging and podcasting, and it was not very welcoming for other creators. And there weren't like people that you could reach out to for support or help or advice or ideas. God forbid collaboration. It was not a healthy creator community. And one of the big things as the Brewcast kind of figured out what it was, and I figured out how to do that thing. One of the things that that I made a point of to myself was that aside from just like having fun making content and sharing my love of Cincinnati and the craft beer that comes out of the city, one of the bigger things that I want to see happen is this other underlying community behind all of that. You've got the beer community, and that's awesome. But I want there to exist a community of people who can create things and who can reach out to other people to help them create things. And so when I see other people that are not only doing that, but doing it in a way that kind of fosters that community, like that side of things, it makes me feel good about where we're at as far as a beer content creation city. It's not like this everywhere, and I hope that everybody understands that. You go to other cities and like there's not little like communities of yahoos that get online and like post what they're drinking. It's a ton of fun. Chris says, you're all gonna make me start something. Do it. I dare you. I think that like I've talked to a lot of people over the years that talk about wanting to start a podcast, or I don't even know what the equivalent today of that is, because the word podcast doesn't really mean the same thing it used to. But talk to a lot of people that would say they want to start a podcast, and they would say, oh no, but everybody else does it already. It's not something that I could talk about that somebody else isn't already talking about. And I promise then, I promise now, and I will promise in 5 years that there is always something else that you could be talking about. There is always room for more voices, and we need more voices constantly. We were looking at the calendar today. The day after that Sunday, we're headed out of town for something, and we were kind of looking at the calendar, and or we had not looked at, say we loosely, my wife had not looked at the calendar, and we were talking about that Sunday and all of the plans and stuff, and she said, well, what if we just leave early? We could leave the day before, and we could go down, and because it's down in Kentucky, we can go down to Kentucky, and we can just get a hotel room and just spend the whole weekend down there with the kids. And she's going on and on in my head, like, I'm like, I know what weekend that is. I don't think she looked at the calendar. I looked and I said, "That's I got some stuff going on that day." And she's like, "Oh yeah." And then she said, "So what's this Cincy Brewdads thing? Is that like something you're getting paid for?" So no, it's not something I'm getting paid for. And so then I tried to explain it to her, and I tried to explain like what this whole like community is like, why it's important. And I could just see her eyes glazing over and just not getting it. So I'm glad that you guys do. And Julia points out, we don't have your voice and thoughts about it, so why not put it out there? Exactly. You could have a dozen people that all go to the same event and drink the same things, and I would still want to listen to all of them talk about their experience because it'll all be different. The problem arises in today's... Did you tell her there'd be cake and stickers? My wife does not like social events at all. My wife and I are very different in a lot of things, and one of those is that she doesn't really like going out and socializing. I love it. I don't even think she likes stickers, and I love stickers. I have more stickers in this basement than anybody needs. I forgot what I was just saying. So no, I did not tell her there'd be cake and stickers. I remembered the problem. The problem now, and I want to say this very gently because there's not a problem. Things are better right now for people to be able to create the content that they want to create. But things are also easy for anybody to create whatever content they want to create. So there are, and I don't see it as much in beer content creators. Maybe because I don't see it, but especially on the food. So I will use food as the example right now. I see a lot of people that are getting into creating content about food, not because they love creating content about food, but because they think it's going to lead to something else. They think they're going to build it into some big kind of empire and grow a mullet and be very happy. That's not the way it works. There are like flashes where that like can work for people, and like they can build something either very intentionally or by pure luck that it just hits at the right time to the right people. If you want to make content, especially about something like beer, you've got to be making it because you love making it, because it's probably never going to turn into something that changes the world. Advertisers are still slow to online alcohol advertising. And that translates into just not a ton of like outside reasons to make it, other than that you just love it. And like I see a lot of content creators that, to me, like when I see them working, and I like our paths like cross a lot. Like there'll be a lot of events and stuff that you go to where there are other content creators there. And some of them are wonderful. Like I've met some really, really awesome people in this bubble. But some of them, like you see them doing what they do and how they're doing it and how they interact with the world around them. And it's soul sucking, and it really kind of makes you want to find as many ways as possible as you can to make sure that people realize you're not like that. And that's the downside of where we're at right now. Like it's easy to make stuff, but it's easy to make stuff. And so there are a lot of other other people in there. That doesn't mean you shouldn't support those people, but it makes me, it gives me trepidation about where things could go in the future. We're not there yet. Things are great right now, but it gives me a little, a little fear. So what did we learn today? We learned that the documentary is coming. The documentary is here. The documentary will be officially stamped, done tonight. And if you want to see it, you can go to Brewing Heritage Day or just wait and watch it on YouTube. We learned that I like mariachi music to make crappy cocktails taste better. We learned that drinking in the shade is usually better than drinking in the sun, unless it's a beer that tastes better in the sun than it does in the shade. Then in that case, drinking in the sun is the better option. We learned that if you are a bartender and I walk into your bar when it's raining, you better offer me a rainy day cocktail or else I'm going to be sad. And nobody wants a sad gnome in their bar on a rainy day. We learned that Hoofhearted has a funny name, but makes imbalanced beers. I think that's all we learned. Did we learn anything else? Did I miss anything? I appreciate you guys for hanging out with me. I appreciate all of you for listening to Cincy Brewcast because, as Zach mentioned, it's back and it's better than ever. And we're not done. We are definitely not done with Cincy Brewcast episodes. There are more coming. There are Drinking with the Gnome episodes coming. A whole variety of Drinking with the Gnome episodes. Drinking with the Gnome might be the show right now that has me the most intrigued because there are different, like this show, you always know what this show that's not a show is going to look like and feel like and sound like. It's always this. It's me sitting here drinking something with you. It's a happy hour. We get that. Cincy Brewcast, we know what that is. It's an interview-based show talking about Cincinnati craft beer. Owners, drinkers, brewers, all Cincinnati beer. Like we know that. Drinking with the Gnome, though, Drinking with the Gnome could have interviews. It could be me just here in the studio telling you the history of a cocktail or a spirit or a place. It could be me at a place talking about that place. It could be me interviewing somebody about the place. It could be me interviewing somebody just about themselves. Don't know. It could be anything. And I have a bunch of shows that kind of hit all of those different categories. It's good stuff. Ryan says, giving Cincy Brewcast a listen tomorrow. Please do. Thank you. Listen or a view. You can watch it on YouTube because evidently that's podcasting too now. I appreciate you guys. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff that I do, know that you can always support by becoming a Gnomie. As I get like this new schedule kind of rolling and episodes start hitting my desktop, we'll say, a little more timely. Early stuff is going to be like a lot more early than a day or two. Like we'll be talking like a week early. You get to see some of the podcasts that are done. And then other things early, not to mention swag. The swag is coming this year. As soon as the first issue of Cincy Drinks magazine hits, a box of swag will be coming your way. Hopefully, and I shouldn't say it out loud because this is just hopefully right now, I would like this to be the first year that I do yearly pins. I want to do hat pins, like little like hat pins, like German hat pins, you know. I want to do them every year. I want a special one every single year, a small run of them, Gnomies, and then just a few extra that people can buy if they run into me when we're out somewhere at an event. Not many beyond Gnomies. I want that to exist. I've been trying to make it exist, and I'm really hoping this year can be the year that it happens. It has to be out by Oktoberfest, though, or else it doesn't work for me in my head. So stay tuned for that, maybe. But you will get a box of swag if you are a Nomi at the right tier, I should say. Free Nomis don't get boxes of swag. $5, you don't even get a box of swag. I think you got to be a $10 tier to get the box. The boxes sometimes have things that I make. Sometimes they have things that I pick up from other breweries. As I mentioned on this week's Cincy Brewcast, I think one time I just went into Narrow Path and I bought all of the mugs that they had, and I packaged up the mugs and sent them out. And they're great mugs. They have a cork bottom and stuff. They're great mugs. Lots of fun stuff like that. And we're going to be better about that. We have that, that system has been kind of changed on paper on my end to kind of make some kind of repeatable process that I can do that stuff. It's all boring stuff that you don't actually care about. You just want your swag. I get it. But I appreciate all of you who are Gnomies. If you aren't and you want to become one, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support. For all of you that hung out tonight, any night, thanks for listening to me ramble as I drink my June. It's a really good beer. Shout out to Mad Tree for making a great episode this week of the Brewcast. That's not why I'm drinking this, but now that I am, it makes sense. I wish I was smart enough to do things like that on purpose. We'll be back next week. We'll do this again. Cheers, everybody. Get out there and drink something good. Be gnarly, drink local, and I'll see you next week. Cheers, everybody. To decide if I put gin into my triple IPA or if I put rum in the triple IPA or if I put Malort in the triple IPA. One of these is the right choice. Just gotta try them all to see which one it is. I do this for you.